It was a hugely dramatic day before the Special Criminal Court in Dublin yesterday, as the court delivered their verdict yesterday afternoon. Juror Damunk Hutch had been found not guilty of the murder of David Byrne, the Kinahan gang member who was shot dead at the Regency Hotel 7 years ago. The 60-year-old from the Paddocks in Clontarf in Dublin pleaded not guilty to the charge. David Byrne was shot dead on the 5th of February 2016 in a murder that rapidly escalated the ongoing Hutch-Kinahan feud, which has so far claimed 18 lives. He's co-accused on the day, were convicted for their part in facilitating what happened on that day. Frank Graney, News Talk Courts correspondent, has been there for all 52 days of this marathon trial, a trial really 7 years in the making. I spoke to him shortly before coming in here, and I first of all asked him to take me through, I suppose, the drama of the day and how it all came to be that Gerard Hutch walked free.
That's right, and it took a long time for that realisation to dawn on Gerry Hutch and everybody else in the court, although there had been a few flags earlier in the day that suggested that he was going to walk free. But it wasn't until maybe 4 hours after the judges had begun delivering their ruling yesterday that it became clear that Gerry Hutch was not going to be convicted of the murder of David Byrne. As to his reaction, there wasn't much, if I'm honest. Gerry Hutch doesn't give much away. He is, as we discovered, having listened to 10 hours of a secretly recorded conversation between him and Jonathan Dowdall, he is a man of few words, and he doesn't give much away in terms of emotion throughout the trial. We've obviously been keeping a very close eye on him at various points, particularly when Jonathan Dowdall took the stand to testify against him, and he didn't give much away then. He didn't give much away yesterday. But he was undoubtedly relieved. He turned 60 last week, and if he was convicted, he was facing the potential of serving 20 years, if not the rest of his life, behind bars. So he certainly would have been a relieved man yesterday. He shook hands and spoke briefly with his lawyers before leaving the courthouse in very dramatic fashion. Shortly afterwards, the judge directed his immediate release. Sometimes prisoners are brought back to the jailhouse to collect personal belongings, or arrangements are made to have them, you know, escorted out of the building. That wasn't the case yesterday. Whether that was Gerry Hutch's decision or not, he walked straight out the front door. He was met by immediate scrum. He seemed to have some difficulty getting a taxi or getting transport out of the building, and he was followed by camera crews and reporters all looking for some sort of reaction. But he didn't say anything. He got into a taxi shortly afterwards, and it's been widely reported that he plans to leave the country. That remains to be seen. He was, of course, extradited back to Ireland from Spain to face this murder charge back in September of 2021. Time will tell whether or not he stays in Dublin or returns to Spain or goes elsewhere. But as it stands, he's free to do as he pleases because he was found not guilty of that murder charge yesterday.
Frank, was it the issue here that it was the state or the prosecution's case that he was present at this event as an actual participant and an actual shooter, and that they just didn't have the evidence, despite Jonathan Dowdall's testimony, to convince the courts that that actually had happened?
That's the nuts and bolts of it. The prosecution decided to pursue its case against Gerry Hutch in a very specific and deliberate way. From day one, back in October when this trial opened, the prosecuting barrister Sean Galan got up and outlined his case, or the prosecution's case, against Gerry Hutch in broad terms. And I was taken aback when I heard what he had to say, because I had always assumed, perhaps naively looking back, but I had always assumed that the case that was going to be put forward against Gerry Hutch was that he had approved the attack, he had maybe organised it and pulled the strings from afar. I never for one second thought that the allegation would be that he was actually in the hotel, dressed in tactical gear, holding an AK-47, firing fatal shots into the body of David Byrne, a known Kinahan associate. I couldn't believe it. My colleagues on the press bench couldn't believe it when that detail emerged on day one of the trial. And we had to wait a long time then to get some meat on the bones, and that came through the testimony of Jonathan Dowdall, the state-turned witness who himself was supposed to stand trial. That charge, as we all know at this point, was dropped. He pleaded guilty to a lesser charge. He's serving a 4-year sentence for that. And he did testify against Gerry Hutch. And he, as far as I could see, and as far as the court could see, was the only one giving evidence of Gerry Hutch being that directly involved, being one of the actual participants, being one of the actual shooters, as Ms. Justice Tara Byrne said yesterday. Now, given the fact that he has a very serious criminal record, Jonathan Dowd, all that is, given the fact that he is a known perjurer, a known liar, a person who lies for lots of reasons, a person who is described by the defence as a master manipulator, and also, let's not forget, somebody who had something to gain, somebody who the court accepted had a self-interest in testifying against Gerry Hutch at trial before Christmas. He was cross-examined at length. Despite all of that, there is case law that suggests that the court can believe the evidence of somebody like Jonathan Dowdall on its own. But I suppose taking a look at everything and considering all of the evidence and considering all of the testimony that he gave, the court yesterday was not happy to rely exclusively on the testimony of Jonathan Dowdall. So what they needed to do was, I suppose, to accept the evidence that he was giving, they needed some sort of independent corroboration evidence from elsewhere in the case. The prosecution pointed to the 10 hours of a secret recording between Jonathan Dowdall and Gerry Hutch. They said there were a number of things Gerry Hutch said during that car journey to and from Northern Ireland with Jonathan Dowdall that supported what Jonathan Dowdall was saying, but the court didn't see that. They didn't find anything in that evidence or elsewhere to support what Jonathan Dowdall was saying. And again, you know, with that in mind, they just simply couldn't believe what Jonathan Dowdall told them from the stand. You know, he had told them that Gerry Hutch had confessed to the murder in a meeting in a park in Dublin just a few days after the shooting. There was nothing in the case to support his claim. Phone analysis was presented towards the very end of the trial, which actually went against his version of events, because he initially told the Gardaí that he met Gerry Hutch on the Monday after the shooting. He said it was sometime between 11 and half past 11. The phone analysis did not support that claim. His phone was nowhere near the park in Whitehall on the Monday, so he said he must have been mistaken, that it must have been the Sunday. But again, you know, taking a look at the phone records, the only time that meeting could have taken place on the Sunday was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was some hours after he claimed to have met Gerry Hutch. There was no sightings of Gerry Hutch in the area, no phone records linking Gerry Hutch to that meeting in the park in Whitehall. So in the end, the judges simply couldn't accept what he had to say, and they were left with no choice but to acquit Gerry Hutch. And it was the right decision. You know, having sat through 52 days of evidence, 52 days of trial, having listened to all the submissions from all the legal sides, it was the correct decision. There was no evidence apart from Jonathan Dowdall's testimony putting Gerry Hutch in the Regency Hotel that day with an AK-47 in his hand.
Yeah, and separate to that, of course, the two co-accused yesterday, Paul Murphy of Cherry Avenue Swords and Jason Bonney of Drumina Wood in Port Marnock, were both found guilty of the charges that they faced, participating or contributing to the murder of Byrne.
That's right. Charges that they had denied, but they were found guilty of yesterday. They were essentially accused of and subsequently convicted of assisting the Hutch gang in the carrying out of David Byrne's murder by providing logistical support. This was through the provision of getaway vehicles. Paul Murphy was a taxi driver, and he was accused of allowing the gang to use his taxi driver as a getaway vehicle. Jason Bonney, his black BMW X5 Jeep was used to take away one of the hitmen. We saw CCTV footage of Kevin Flatcap Murray, one of the armed men in the hotel that day, getting into the Jeep shortly after the Regency attack. So they were accused of assisting the gang make good their escape. Now, Paul Murphy at trial had raised issues about the identification of his taxi in CCTV footage that was shown at trial. The judges didn't accept his arguments in relation to that. We also heard that there were taxi receipts found in his taxi, and these taxi receipts, when they were looked at, they were time-stamped, obviously, and they essentially gave him an alibi. They suggested that he was working, that he was doing jobs as a taxi driver at times relevant to the attack at the Regency Hotel back in February 2016. But on closer inspection of those taxi receipts, the court was satisfied that they were inaccurate and unreliable. And the suggestion that was put forward by the prosecution, which the court did seem to accept, was that they were perhaps doctored to give him this false alibi, to put him somewhere else other than the area of the Regency Hotel attack. In the end, again, the court did not accept his arguments in relation to those he was convicted. Jason Bonney, on the other hand, claims that his late father was actually driving his black BMW Jeep on the day in question. His father, having passed away a number of years ago, clearly wasn't in a position to corroborate his evidence or otherwise. And in the end, the judges didn't believe him. They accepted the evidence of Jason Bonney's brother-in-law, who told the court that he had a long lunch with Jason Bonney's late father on the day in question, that he was in his company when he heard about the Regency Hotel shooting, but that it couldn't possibly have been him. And Jason Bonney was heavily criticised yesterday for trying to implicate his late father in what happened at the Regency Hotel. Both of those men were convicted and they'll be sentenced in May.
Is this the end for the Regency attack in terms of an Garda Síochána? And is there a fallout here for the state or for the prosecution in terms of maybe perhaps did they reach too far with the high level of charges that they brought against Jerry Hutch?
There are certainly questions to be asked of the DPP and the decision makers. You know, you have to give huge credit to the Gardaí who investigated what happened at the Regency Hotel. You know, this trial was 7 years in the making. The investigation was thorough. It involved enormous Garda resources, and having watched all of that evidence being presented over the course of that 52-day trial, it was nothing short of impressive. But the decision to pursue the charge against Jerry Hutch in the way it was pursued by the prosecution, that would have been made by the Director of Public Prosecutions in consultation, you would assume, with the prosecution team and perhaps senior members of Garda management. Questions may have to be asked in relation to the way they decided to run that case, because Ms. Justice Tara Burns did raise an interesting point yesterday when she wondered what case the state would have presented if Jonathan Dowdall hadn't entered the picture. And I suppose what she meant by that was Jerry Hutch had been charged with murder long before Jonathan Dowdall made his statement against him, long before he decided to testify against him at trial. So you have to wonder, would the case have looked, you know, any different if it had been run without the testimony of Jonathan Dowdall? I suppose we don't know the answer to that question. All we know and all we can really say is that the prosecution ran its case in a certain way. It accused Jerry Hutch specifically of being one of two hitmen that shot David Byrne dead, and he was found not guilty of that charge yesterday. He was free to go.
Are there more arrests planned, Frank?
I'm not aware of whether or not there are more arrests waiting in the wings, but certainly this investigation isn't over.
Yeah.
I understand inquiries are ongoing. There were a number of people mentioned during the trial, albeit not before the courts, that may have some questions to answer. So my heart goes out to David Byrne's family. You know, Sadie, his mother was there yesterday. She'd been there throughout. She's in poor health herself. You know, this is the second murder trial in relation to the murder of her son. Back in 2018, Jerry Hutch's nephew, Patrick Hutch Jr., stood trial for murder. The charge against him was dropped. You have Jerry Hutch, now his uncle, being acquitted of the charge yesterday. And as far as I know, there's nobody waiting in the wings to be charged with his murder. Nobody has been held responsible. There have been convictions. People are serving time for doing things like Jonathan Dowdall and his father Patrick did, providing the gang with access to a hotel room. You have Jason Bonney now and Paul Murphy going to be sentenced in May for their roles. And you also have Shane Rowan, a known IRA man. He was arrested and subsequently convicted and sentenced for possession of the AK-47s used in the Regency attack. But to date, nobody has been held accountable for the actual murder of David Byrne.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything that would have happened yesterday, and when you talk about the fallout, we do have to spare a thought for Sadie Byrne and for David Byrne's family, because they've lost a loved one in tragic and violent circumstances, and they still have a lot of questions that remain unanswered.